Now, God is a king. God is the king. He has a kingdom in this world, a kingdom that is growing. But it's a very different kingdom. It's not a kingdom as others. It doesn't come with great displays of power and glory. It doesn't come when we march on the capital city with an army and seize the parliament or the state house. It grows differently. Jesus here teaches us about the growing of the kingdom. He teaches us about some of the disappointments that we have in the growth of the kingdom. He teaches us about some of the surprises. He tells us how to make sure that we're in it, that we're not deceived, that we're not mistaken about truly being Christians. We all hear the same word. And all over the world, people sit and hear the same word preached. But the results are so different. Some people, their lives change. Their homes change. Darkness becomes light. Where there was anger and hatred and cheating and lying, there comes truth and honesty and love and respect. But some people hear the word even week by week and nothing changes. Nothing happens. I used to be an assistant to another preacher. He trained me and he told me, he said, there's a church. Well, the church that he preached in, he preached there for 25 years. And he said, there are some people, they're the same today as they were 25 years ago. There's nothing different about their lives. There's nothing more that they do to serve the Lord since I came there 25 years earlier. But there's others who've been saved, who've been trained, and who in their places of work were serving the Lord with all their heart. And they brought many others to know Christ also. What's the difference? Why so differently? When we sit in the same places, we sit on the same chairs, we hear the same words. Well, let's look at the first three verses. So today we're in five parts. Don't fear, they're not too long. In five parts. At firstly, verses 1, 2, and 3. Here we see Jesus and his disciples going to sow. Verse 1, he travelled from one town and village to another. He went through that whole area. So he's in Galilee, up in the north. He went from place to place, big places, small places. Everybody needs to hear the word of God. Not just the big cities, not just Eldoret, Nairobi, Kisumu. But we need the word to go out into the villages, into the remote places, into the deserts, that all may hear that Jesus is the King and that there is good news of forgiveness for sinners. As he went, he was proclaiming the kingdom. So it says proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is his rule. That he teaches men again to obey him. That the seed of that rule is planted in their hearts. But the results, the fruit, the harvest, that's in their words and their lives, their thoughts and their actions. That here is a person who has come again under the rule of God. He's left his old way of living. She's left her old life of disobedience, of her own wisdom. Now he's living again under the rule of God. It's good news that God is making the world right again. All the daughters and sons of Adam who've gone away from God, God is bringing them back again, putting them under his rule. And that is good news. Well, it's bad news for the devil. It's bad news for those who hate God. It's bad news who, if you want to just live your own life, your own way, and keep God at a distance. But it's good news for those who know the truth and who love the truth. Well, this kingdom made known by preaching. In verse 1 we have the word proclaiming, to declare, like a messenger who's been sent, a herald. He comes with a message and he says, hear what the king says. That's how the kingdom spreads. Doesn't spread by politics. Doesn't spread through the strength of men and the wisdom of men. It spreads through being proclaimed. And the Spirit brings it with power. We long for the Spirit to come with power here in Eldoret. Jesus, as we read of him in this gospel, he's always busy, isn't he? We can never read of something and say, ah, there he's being a bit lazy. And he's sparing himself. He's left his work and he's just enjoying life passing him by. He's busy. He looks at what the Father had given him and he does it. Here Jesus is doing what his disciples should do. You see, at verse 1 it says the 12 were with him. Those 12 wanafunzi. Walikuwaki jifunza. Tokabwana. Walikuwaki weza kumwana. Na kuviona vitu ambavyo alikuwaki fanya. So that they, when they were sent out, should be able to do the same. Now, there were others with him. They're in verse 2. Some women. Women who'd been cured. They'd been healed. They'd been delivered, even from demons. We have some of their names. Mary, known as Mary Magdalene. 7 demons had been cast out from her. She was the first to see Jesus after he rose from the dead. It's that Mary. Mary the Magdalene. Another lady called Joanna, verse 3. Her husband was called Chuza, or Cusa. He was managing all the affairs of Herod, the household, all the things of Herod. He was the manager. But his wife was a believer in Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. You find believers in wonderful and amazing places. Many times in the Bible. Wicked King Ahab had a steward in his house called Obadiah who served him. Ungodly, greedy, selfish King Nebuchadnezzar had a prime minister called Daniel, who was one of the most godly men who ever lived. As Jesus is preaching where he has opportunity, the word is getting into many places. Well, there's another lady called Susanna, and then Luke says many others. They were so happy for what Jesus had done for them. They were so grateful. So they followed him around, and they served him as they could. It says in verse 3, they were helping to support them out of their own means. These ladies were providing food and money so that the 12 and Jesus could do the work. They'd not be hindered, not be held back. Those who are saved should serve and they should give. Maybe you can give little, maybe you can give much. We have work that we're trying to do in this church. We have a brother. Brother Abraham, who, if we could support him, if the offering can increase, then he can do more to preach. He can do less building and more preaching, more building the kingdom. If the Lord has blessed you, follow the example of these women. Give so that the preaching can go on and the kingdom can go forward faster. They were not ashamed to be with Jesus. Now, Jesus was rejected by many of the rulers, rejected by the leading Jews. He's insulted. He's despised. But he goes around preaching. They're not ashamed to go with him. He's the friend of tax collectors and sinners. They're not afraid to be with him. Even this lady Joanna, her husband is a royal official. She's not ashamed to be with this traveling group of preachers. And Jesus was not ashamed to be with them. The Son of God, the Lord of glory, the Holy One, the Judge of all the earth, the one beloved by his Father, was not ashamed to be with these women. Luke, in his Gospel, talks a lot about the women who followed Jesus. A few times we'll see he draws our attention to them. Often in those days, as often today, the women are neglected. They're treated as though they're not equal. But the Bible never does that. And everyone who serves the Lord Jesus truly is given the same honor by God. Well, as Jesus preached the kingdom, he told a story, which we have in verses 4 up to 15. It's called a parable, verse 4. What's a parable? A parable's a story, can be long, can be short. But it's a story about everyday things, but with an eternal meaning. Everyday things revealing eternal truths. Think of it this way. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now in this one there was a man sowing. Unkulima. Nalikua akienda katika mashamba yake. Na alikua kijaribu kupanda mbegu. He sows the seed. Now in the fields of those days there could be a path going through the middle. There were rocks under the surface that you couldn't see. There were thorns that grew so high, weeds. Even I've read up to 6 feet, as high as a man, strong, powerful weeds. There was a time of sowing and there's the time of harvesting. Much like anywhere really in the world. As he sowed, some seed fell on the path. So we're looking first at the seed on the path. This is verses 4 and 5, and then verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. What happens if your seed goes on the pathway? Well, it gets trodden on. Some bird sees its dinner, and it comes to eat it. And you get nothing back. It's gone. It's wasted. Nothing at all. Not even the beginning of growth. Immediately. Jesus said in verse 9. Sorry. Jesus said in verse 12. These ones on the path, they hear. And immediately the devil takes the word away. It does nothing in their mind. Nothing in their heart. They can't believe. Just gone from them, they can't be saved. In my country, we have a saying, in one ear, out the other. The word just passed through. It didn't stop, it didn't rest. Nothing happened. Salvation comes when we believe the words spoken about Jesus Christ, the words about his bleeding and dying at Calvary for our evil deeds, the words about his rising in power from the dead, defeating the devil, defeating the grave, and becoming Lord of all at God's right hand. When we believe, when we rest upon him, when we put our weight upon him, when he becomes our one and only hope and our one and only desire, then God has given you the gift of eternal salvation. But if you don't listen to those words, if you don't take them into your heart, if you just let them pass you by, then you can't be saved. You can't do anything for God. You can't understand anything. There's no hope for you. Jesus said that some people, They only hear the word as a form of judgment upon them. They don't hear it for good, but for bad. That's in verse 9 and 10. And the disciples, they came and said, "What is this story? Explain it to us." And he said, "I'm explaining it to you because God has chosen you. God loves you. God wants you to hear and understand the mysteries or the things that were secret. They're now made known. They're for you. But there are others whom God is judging. They have no heart for him. They don't want him. They're just pretending. The word to them is told as a story, and it's kept at a distance from them." Jesus quotes some words from the prophet Isaiah. These ones in verse 10. That seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. Isaiah was told to preach to people who had no heart to listen. He was told to tell them great and wonderful things, but he was told they would not receive him, and judgment would fall upon them. To many people, the word comes that way. They have no desire for it. And they increase their judgment because they've been shown the truth, but they didn't want it. And they were happy for it to remain far away. What a terrible thing. Verse 8, when Jesus had told the story, he said, "Whoever has ears to hear, he must hear." It's so important. Not just to allow the word to come into our masikio, but into our hearts. To cry out to God, he'll give you a heart to hear the word, a desire and a hunger for it, so that you can't just let it pass through. Pray that he will make you not one of these on the path who loses it all straight away. Pray to God for ears to hear. Well, now let's look at the next kind of ground, the second kind of ground, verse 6 and verse 13. Verse 6, "Some fell on the rock. When it came up, the plants withered because there was no moisture, there was no water." So what happens? Starts to grow. You see it coming up, you think, good, it's growth. But underneath, you cannot see. The ground is rocky, there's stones. It cannot get the roots deep to get the water. We understand that when the rains don't come, the plant needs good roots so it can bring the water up from deep. Because there's going to be a test. The sun will rise. The heat will bake. If there's no water, the plant will die. And it's the same in the Christian life. There will be testing. You seem to have begun, but there will be testing. The sun will rise and the heat will come down. What do you need then? You need a root. These on the rocky ground, these are people who have no root. The word is in their heads, but it's not really in their hearts. The testing will come. There will be trouble because of Jesus. Jesus' word will tell them to do things which make life difficult. Make life difficult with your father. Make life difficult with your wife. Make life difficult with your employer. Then comes the testing. Have you got roots? Are you drawing on the strength of God? Are you drawing on Jesus Christ himself to enable you to do the right thing? Temptations will come. Temptations of family. Temptations of sexual immorality. Temptations from money. Temptations from losing friends. Have you got the root to enable you to be strong? To say no to the temptation. To suffer something because of Jesus Christ. See, these ones on the rocky ground, they're not really converted. With our eyes, what we see looks good. We're seeing them seem to be faithful to the church. We're seeing them seem to walk with Jesus. We're hearing good words. But wait for the test to come. Wait for some temptation. Wait for when it will cost them something to follow Jesus. Then see if they've got roots or not. Do you really love Jesus Christ? Have you really been converted to Him? Has He really shown you your sin? Has He really led you to the cross? Or is it just a religion to you? Is it just rules and teachings? But there's no root in it. To cry out to God to make sure you are converted. Plead with Him to show you if you've truly got this new heart and are living in a new way. Or if it's just religion, you still need to be saved. Cry out to Him. That's the stony ground. Now there's those among the thorns. They're in verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And Jesus speaks of it to explain it in verse 14. Here again, it looks good. The start is good. We're seeing the plant come up and we're thinking there's going to be a harvest. We're going to have some good fruit. But there's something else growing. Something else is growing alongside it. Thorns or weeds. Not only the word of God is growing up, but other things. Jesus explains what these things are in verse 14. It says, life's worries. Life has worries. It has many worries. What shall we eat? What shall we wear? How shall I provide for my family? What will my children do? These things come and they trouble us. But Jesus says, watch out. Because with many people, those things choke the word. So the thorns grow. And you know thorns and the weeds, they grow faster than the crop. I'm told the ones in Israel, they could grow up to 6 feet. They completely dominated. The crop could not grow at all when those weeds took root. Beware of worries. Beware of cares. Jesus taught us to pray, give me this day my daily bread. He didn't say we had also to know where tomorrow's might come from and next week's might come from. Where might next year's come from? He taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. And to trust Him for all things. God takes care of the birds. He takes care of the flowers. The trees are still growing because He's watered them. Do you think He won't take care of His own children as well, whom He loves and whom He's chosen? God gave His Son to bleed and die on the cross for His children. Do you think He'll then leave them to perish? Don't let the worries and the cares of this life choke your desire for the word. Don't say, I got no time to pray, I've got problems. Don't say, I can't go to church today, I've got to deal with my problems. Don't say, I can't read the scriptures, I'm too worried, let me read them later. Don't let the worries and cares consume you. Don't say, I can't do anything to help the church because I've got too many problems of my own. Don't say that, because that may be the weeds growing up to kill off any spiritual life that we thought we had seen. On the other side, at verse 14, there's also a choking by life's riches and pleasures. Not just the worries because of lacking something, but when you begin to get something, then you forget God. You say, life is good. I have no worries. Life is good. And you forget your maker. In the book of Proverbs, there's a prayer and it says, do not give me poverty or riches. If I have poverty, I might steal and become a thief. If I have riches, I might become proud and I might forget God. It's when trouble comes that we really remember to pray often. When we really remember, oh, I'm so weak, I can do nothing, I'm helpless here. God, help me. But when the troubles go, when the pressure is off, we begin to forget God again and we say, I've got everything I want now. All is well. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says Jesus spoke about the deceitfulness of riches. He said people are choked because they're deceived by riches. Whether that's they have riches and they love them too much, or they've just put their heart on riches and they've got so many plans and desires to lift themselves up, their plans and desires for the kingdom of God being squeezed. The life is being crushed out of them. Beware of the deceitfulness of riches. The Apostle Paul, he didn't so much say beware of money. He didn't say money is the root of all evil. But he said the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. The love of money. In another place he said those who desire to be rich, they get themselves into a trap and a snare. They're not content just with God's provisions. They have desire always to get further, 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 further. None of those people ever say, oh, that's enough now. They're always thinking, next level, next level. How can I get more? How can I make my estate bigger? That way of thinking chokes out the desire for God's kingdom. And there's no fruit, there's no harvest. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. But seek first the kingdom of God and God will take care of your needs. But don't put your desires first. You may not get them, you may, but you'll lose the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and God will give you everything that you need in his eyes. Finally, the good soil. Verse 8. Other seed fell on good soil. It came up. It brought a crop 100 times more than what was sown. Good soil. Deep roots. Nothing else growing. The sun comes down. The water comes up. The crop produces a great harvest. That's why the sower goes out to sow for this harvest. What kind of hearer is this? Verse 15. The seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble or a pure, a good heart. They hear the word. They retain it. They hold it fast. They keep it. They won't let it go. When life's problems come, or when life's blessings come, they're still holding the word fast. They're holding it tight. They're making sure it is closer to them than anything else. They hold on to it. They're not just following the word when they have time or when they feel good, but they're holding it tight. That's how to be a Christian in truth. Let God's word come to you and hold it tight. As he says in verse 15, they persevere. By persevering, they produce a good crop. They continue in it. They continue obeying it. They do what it says. They don't let it just come in one ear and out the other. They don't say, well, can I really afford to obey God's word? Is it going to cause me problems? But they persevere. They keep going. It's the athlete in the Olympics this summer who, with his training program, keeps going. Good days, bad days. When he's tired, when he's full of energy. He keeps going because he's got to be better than the others. Then he will win the prize. We've got to keep going. We've got to beware of the temptations. Beware of the traps. Beware of the devil. Keep going so that we will produce fruit. And in those people there will be much fruitfulness. Here Jesus speaks of 100 times what was sown. There will be fruitfulness. Jesus wants us to be fruitful. He's going to ask the question, where's your fruit? In your home, with your children, with your husband, your wife, in your place of work, with the opportunities and gifts that you had in life, in your church, in your neighborhood. Where are the fruits? What have you done? The word has been planted. Where's the harvest? An unfruitful Christian is not really a Christian at all. The name doesn't belong to them. It's a stolen name. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 2. Jesus said, from verse 1, he said, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, he will prune, so there will be even more fruitful. In verse 6, he says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and it withers. Such branches are picked up. They're thrown into the fire and they're burnt. Here in Luke's Gospel, at chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, every tree is known by its fruit. You know what a tree is when you look at what fruit it's producing. Are those a bananas? It's a banana tree. Here's some mangoes. It's a mango tree. Here is good works. Here's a life of love and faithfulness. Here's a life of trying to bring God's kingdom forward. Ah, that's a Christian. Or here's a life of someone who just sits and listens. They go away and nothing changes. There's somebody who's deceived, who doesn't know that they're not really a Christian. God wants us to be fruitful, even very fruitful as we can possibly reach. So how about you today? What kind of hearer are you? Are you a hearer on the path? You hear, you don't understand, you don't do anything, you don't seek, you don't knock. You're the same when you go away again. Are you a hearer on the stony ground? The words in your head is not in your heart. You've understood and you look good, but when the trouble comes, you'll give up and go away. Are you the hearer among the thorns? The word is growing, but you have other desires. Those other desires are going to be stronger than the word. You may not know it. You may deceive yourself. But life's worries or life's good things are going to come first. Your spiritual life will be choked. Are you a hearer on a good ground? With a good heart, you hear the word, you hold on to it, you persevere with it until there's real honor coming to God in your life, so that people know you are not the same person, that the death and resurrection of Jesus is known in your life. You've died to sin, you've risen with him, and his kingdom is going forward. Which one are you?